morning, we said that Reverend Daddy is in my youth. He will be preaching on what are we building. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 8 to 8. This is the scripture. She decided she wanted to go with me. We went to Aruba, and the first night we got food poisoning. And so that was our biggest prayer request. We were healthy the whole time, so that was good. That what was neat is that, by the way, Marlene, you might want to mute yourself just a little bit, and at least during this time, please.
If I can, I'm not sure how I'm using my phone this time, so I don't know how I'm going
okay.
to do that.
Okay. That's okay. So, but it was neat that I was there mainly to train leaders, which I did. Had four sessions on Saturday. Mentored at least two churches, their leaders on Thursday and Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. Friday night we weren't doing anything, and I suggested we have what's called a storm. Also called a jalopy raid in the old days. That's where you get teens to go out and get their friends. They normally run about 10 teenagers on a Friday night. That's when they meet, like you all, on a Friday night. I think the United States is only one of the few places that have teens. I'm talking about America, English churches have teens on Wednesday night. And so I think all the other places I go, Africa, Asia, that's on Friday night is their normal teen night. But they normally have 10. We had 60 teenagers out, and 15 of them trusted Christ as Savior. So it was an awesome time. And the last time I did that in the Caribbean, that I offered to buy the ice cream because I wanted to draw, thinking ice cream is very cheap, because here you can get enough for 30 kids for probably around maybe $15 if you get the big 5-quart ones. And that also was when I was in Aruba or St. Lucia, and it ended up costing me $60 for ice cream. So knowing what it might cost me, I said I'd be willing to help. Well, they said, well, the young people, young adults are running the ministry, decided they wanted wings and pizza. And I was thinking, ding, 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 that's a lot of dollar signs. But they had raised all the money for that. The young adults did, plus enough for pizza for this coming Friday. So for last about 2 nights ago. So anyhow, it was a great time. 15 trusted Christ. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying for safety, for health, and impact. And definitely we had some major impact on the leaders. Today we want to talk about what are we building. Anybody ever built a structure from scratch? Anybody here? Okay, what'd you build?
A deck.
A deck, okay. So, not as extensive, but still you had to build something. As we look at this, I want to talk about this, because my early days, while I was working my way through college, two of the jobs I had was construction. I was a hot carrier. That means I carried mud. That's the stuff that goes between the bricks and mortar, as well as I carried bricks and blocks. But one of the first things we had to do before we put a building up was lay the foundation. And if you didn't have the right foundation, well, one, it wouldn't pass. code. Number two, it wouldn't last if you didn't have the right foundation. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 8. Verse 8, the man who plants and the man who waters has one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace that God has given to me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father, help us now as we look at your word, as we look at it practically, as we look at it functionally, as we look at it for our daily lives. Lord, I pray for each person that's here, that you might bless them, encourage them, build into them. Me too, Lord, I need that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we look at this, starting with the right foundation, that let's just take a look at Matthew 7, and look at 24 through 27. 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and puts them into practice, that's key, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. It fell with a great crash. By the way, did you two get notes?
No, not yet.
Oh, you need pens? I got pens. Here you go. Thanks so much for that. Bad toss. So, the idea of building a foundation is important. And also, it's important how deep it is. It's important how wide it is. It's important that it's the full length of the building, that it supports the building. Because without a foundation, again, that the winds can blow, the waters can flow, and it'll wipe it off of the base there. Well, that's true with us. If we indeed are coming to church, and most of you know my testimony, I went to church all my life. It wasn't until I was in my second year at Ohio State in which I came to realize I needed a relationship. I was religious, I was active, I was involved, I was engaged, but I didn't have the right foundation. That my foundation was not built on anything except going to church. That's all. And it has to be more than that. And the idea here is that we need to understand that each of us are sinners. Each of us do not deserve heaven. Each of us deserve a bad place called hell. And that each of us cannot get to heaven on our own. And that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. He died for us, shed his blood for us, was put on the cross, and was put in the grave, and then was raised from the dead 3 days later. Exactly as he said it would happen. He said that several times to his disciples. And so when he accomplished what he said he would do, he also said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And if he accomplished the impossible, then some people would think the impossible would be for this quote-unquote man, the Jewish people thought, could take me to heaven. But then because of his death and his resurrection, he proved that he is who he was. And he could take us to heaven. If we don't have that, we don't have the right foundation. We don't have the right foundation. So it's important. It's important for us to understand we need the foundation of Christ. By the way, in your notes it says 3:10. It should be 3:10 and 11. 3:10 and 11. We need the salvation. But not only salvation, we need structure. What's interesting in that, by the way, I've also, when I was a chief design engineer, I bought a shell that's called a home with just the outside walls. And then I did everything inside, including drilling my own well during that time with the help of one of the guys I worked with. And so that was definitely a learning experience. But with that, you had to put in not just the outside walls, but you had to put in the supporting walls. We call them load-bearing walls. And put them in so that as we put the ceiling across the floor joists of the upper deck, that they were supported in the right way. And so we need to have the right supporting walls. And then the walls divide up into bedrooms and bathrooms and stuff like that that carry our plumbing, carry our wiring. And so the structure, what type of supporting walls are you building? And so many times, we might think of that. We might think of that in a physical way, but we don't think about that in a spiritual way. We come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but we need more than just salvation. By the way, that's not just. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. But the idea of walking in Him, serving Him, that first of all, we need prayer. Ephesians 6:18, it says there to pray all times, at all times, for all people. Just like this morning, I pray for DCC every week, twice a week. I pray for some of you individually every week because I believe it's important to take you before the Lord. By the way, I pray for me every day that I stay pure, that I'm the man of God that He wants me to be. I'm the husband He needs. And so those are, and the father and grandfather to my kids and grandkids. But we need to pray. We need to talk to Him. And prayer is not some type of thing where you get on your knees, though you can get on your knees. But prayer is when we honestly talk with God. Openly. Openly. Honestly. When we hurt, someday I'll be preaching on David and a message as when we hurt. Because don't we all go through hurts? Most of us, okay? That's with that, who do we lean on? What do we lean on? And so talking about what David leaned on, yeah. Went through that. So the idea of prayer, we need to be praying. And by the way, you don't have to pray for hours. You can just pray for a few minutes. And you don't have to have your time where you get in the corner and pray or in your chair and pray at home. But as an engineer, there's times I prayed for wisdom when the guys would come get me and say, we got a problem out here in the shop, and we need your advice. And so on the way out, I'd be praying, Lord, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. And if I found out it was their problem, I'd say, praise the Lord. I didn't say it too loud, but I said, praise the Lord, it was their problem. And if it was my design, and I said, praise the Lord, we found the problem before it hurt someone. And so the idea of prayer can be any time. It could be even when you eat, thanking the Lord for your food. Amen? Thank the Lord for food, because that's who provided it. Have you ever thought about what if you, and there's people who don't have taste, especially now with people who've had COVID, they've lost their taste. I have several friends cannot taste their food. I think that's awful. I think it's awful. When I had my egg McMuffin, And on the way up here, my Coke Zero, it was great. Yesterday when I had my bacon and eggs, it was great. And so I love the taste of it. We need a taste of the Lord and know that He is good. We need a taste of the Lord. So the idea of prayer. But the second thing is the idea of being in God's Word. I have it down as quiet time. But we need to be in God's Word. It says in Psalm 119, verse 33, teach me to know your ways and help me to walk in them. God's word wasn't just written so we could read it in a Sunday service. God's word was written that you and I could have abundant life. In fact, it says in John chapter 10, it says that he's come to give us life and life more abundantly. And I know the difference. I've been there. That I had a good life as a young man. I had a good life as a young college student. But I didn't have a fulfilled life in either. And so the idea here is that we have a time on learning from God's word. And my first 2 years of working with youth, I didn't do a quiet time. Because I did not have time. And then I realized if I'm leading teens, and I'm sharing with them that God says we should be in God's word, I should be doing what I'm asking the teens to do. Would you agree with that? Up to that time, I had a big H on my chest. Hypocrite. But when I started doing what I asked them to do, I started realizing the very truth of his word was for me. And so we need to take God's word and make it practical. Practical. And a practical for me might be different than a practical for you two ladies. Because you're female, I'm male. I'm weird, you're good. But the whole idea is that we need to apply God's word. So not only through prayer, not only through quiet time, but also through scripture memory. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Memorize scripture. Again, you don't have to memorize thousands of verses, but just a few verses. That's going to help us, because that, do you carry your Bible all the time? All the time?
No.
Okay. I mean, I don't carry it on my wheel when I'm driving. Amen? When that crazy guy cuts me off, and you get upset, and yet God's word says, thou shalt not recompense, saith the Lord, no road rage. Amen? But that playing basketball, never carried a Bible then when that guy put